minute here. Hey, everybody, this is Hugh Culver with CAPS, and we're going to get going in about exactly 1 minute with my interview of the amazing Rick Frischman. I hope you've got a big pad of paper and a glass of water, because this is going to be pretty fantastic. You're going to get to know everything you need to know about getting your book published, or if you've got a book, how to get it on the shelves and selling. So we're going to get started about 30 seconds. Well, hello, everyone. This is Hugh Culver with the Canadian Association for Professional Speakers, and this is our ongoing series, which I'm calling the Business Growth Series. It's a great opportunity for you to hear from real experts in the industry, people that you might not normally bump into, and to learn from them directly, like what is going on in our industry, how can I take advantage of opportunities, and on this call, it's all about how can I either get my book published, or if I have a book, how can I get that thing selling more so I can actually get a payback from all this effort I've put into it. So on the call with me today is Rick Frischman, and I am so delighted to have Rick on the call. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, then I'm going to get him to say hi and introduce himself. So I first saw Rick at a conference recently in San Francisco, and I was immediately attracted to this guy. Not only is he stunningly good-looking, but, I mean, he's the man. Like, he has worked with everybody. He's worked with Mitch Albom. In fact, I think Mitch Albom, who of course is, you know, Tuesdays with Maurice, et cetera, I think Mitch at one point actually worked for Rick. He's worked with Bill Moyer, Stephen King, I mean, Howard Stern, Carolyn Kennedy. The list is just, you know, A-class list. He's been on Oprah, Bloomberg TV. He's been quoted, you know, extensively in all sorts of publications like New York Times. He's also the author of national bestsellers, or co-author of some books like The Guerrilla Publicity and Network Magic and Guerrilla Marketing for Writers. So one thing that really attracted me to getting Rick on this call was that he is not only does he have a real depth of experience in this industry of publishing and authoring books, but he is really current. Like, he is still out there doing it. He's still out there working with authors. And I just thought, we have got to get him on a call with the CAPS members so that we can learn firsthand. So, Rick, welcome to CAPS.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Nice to meet all of you virtually. I hope to meet you all in person sometime soon. Let's get to it. We want to talk about getting a book done, getting published, and cutting the steps to make it easy for you so you know exactly what to do.
Nice. And I know that, Rick, during this call, I certainly want to make sure that you have a chance to tell people about Author 101. So we will get to that, because I know it's coming up in only 1 week, but it's a really important event that people should be starting to think about in our industry. So first of all, you know, Rick, one of the things that as a new author that I had to come to learn was that the world of publishing is no longer just self-publishing or going with the big guys, the big Madison Avenue publishers. So can you tell us a little bit about this, the three models that are now available for publishing? How does that work?
Sure. And by the way, everybody, I've been in publishing. I started doing book publicity in 1976. I've been doing this about 36 years, and I launched folks like Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, Nelson DeMille, Barbara DeAngelis, Nicholas Sparks, T. Harv Eker. When he came in my office, nobody knew who the heck he was. And, of course, Brendan Burchard. So, publishing has changed dramatically in 30 years. I'm also an author myself, and I assure you, I know we have hundreds of people listening on this call, that I am the crappiest writer on this call. I'm a speaker, but let me tell you, I suck as a writer. So don't worry if you think you're not a great writer. I promise you I'm worse than you are. And I have 12 books out. My 13th and 14th book are coming out next year, and I've sold hundreds of thousands of books, and I don't even know how to write. So don't worry if you don't think you're a great writer. Write this down. You don't have to be a great writer to be an author. You need to know a great writer to be an author. And all you guys are speakers, and we speak our books, and we'll talk about how to do that. Years ago, the only way to get published in the right way was to go to the traditional publisher, Simon Schuster, HarperCollins, McGraw-Hill, and I have books published with McGraw-Hill and other big publishers. Let's talk fast about the three different ways of getting published. And forgive me, I'm from New York, so I actually, as you can tell, talk, you know, kind of quickly, so listen fast, and you can always rewind and listen to it again, but I want to get a lot of content out here, so we give you lots of good information. So, number one, to get published by we'll talk traditional publishing. First and foremost, what every one of you on this call need to do is write a book proposal. And my vow to you today is that I promise I will help every one of you get published within 1 year of today. Actually, it should take even less than that, but 1 year as the outside date from today, and one of these three ways. But either way, no matter how you want to get published, we must have a book proposal. And a fellow named Jack Canfield, I'm sure you've heard of Jack, he's one of my oldest friends, sent me a guy a few years ago who sent me a book proposal, and I wrote a whole series of books called Author 101, and the first one is How to Write Book Proposals. And Jack sent his friend said, look, Rick, can you look at his book proposal and help this guy? So he sent me his proposal, and I said, nice guy, but, you know, I love you, but let me tell you, this book proposal sucks. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Amazon, get my book for $10, and do exactly what I tell you to do and come back in a week. He did just that. We redid his book proposal. We redid his title. He had a horrible title. We'll talk about titles. We renamed it a really short title, 1 to 5 words, got him a literary agent, and the rest is history. That was Tim Ferriss. The book was The 4-Hour Workweek. And it all started with a book proposal. In fact, Tim tells people now, go spend $10 on a book and do what, you know, and do exactly what they tell you to do. So all of you need to have a book proposal, and we'll get into that a little later, exactly what should be in your book proposal. And the book proposal, the main thing, it is your business plan for your book. But for traditional publishing, the main objective is to get a literary agent. And without a literary agent, you will go nowhere when it comes to getting a traditional big publisher like HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, etc. I work with about 50 literary agents, and their job is, once they get your book proposal, is to sell your book proposal to an editor at one of the main houses. The editor then has to bring it to their publishing board, and the publishing board goes over it, and then if they like it, they hopefully get the publisher to make some sort of offer, which is an advance, and they give you a small amount of money if you're not known, and they buy the rights to your book. And do you know what the typical advance is for an unknown author, by the way?
No. Quiz. What would it be?
It is $1,500 or less.
Amazing.
And in fact, one major publisher, which you all know the name of, in New York, now for speakers who are unknown, have a contract, and I have a copy of it, and it goes like this. We'll be happy to publish your book if you buy back guaranteed 5,000 of your books, hardcover, $25 book, at 40% off a list. So and then we'll give you a $10,000 advance. That sounds great, but let's work the numbers. 40% off a list on a $25 book means you're paying them at PubDate $60,000. And then they give you $10,000 back. So for the honor of them publishing your book, you're giving them $50,000 on PubDate. Okay? Don't do it. It's stupid. But what happens if, let's say they give you $1,000 or $2,000 or even a $10,000 advance. You give them your rights, your intellectual property rights. They will then take a year or so, or generally the book will come out in 18 months to 2 years. Maybe if they're fast, they'll do it in a year. They'll print it. They'll do some editing. They'll do the interior. They'll do the cover. They will get some books in bookstores. They'll probably get it as an e-book. You have to do all the marketing. You have to do all the publicity. They do nothing for you. And in 3 months, if the book doesn't sell, the books come back from the bookstore. And if you don't buy them back from the publisher, then they destroy them. Now, I know I made that sound pretty crappy, but that's that's reality of what traditional publishing is today. So,
okay,
now,
well, let's
having said that, I still want you all to try to get published by a big traditional publisher if indeed they'll give you money.
Well, let's take a step back and let's look
yes.
at these three models. So now that you've kind of we've got a sort of this bleak picture of what's going on in New York, but we all understand self-publishing, I think, or print on demand. So I mean, I think most
right.
people get that. And now you've told us a little bit about Rick, what the big publishers, and I want to come back to them because it's not all bad news. But what is this middle model that I've been hearing about? Like, and how does that work?
I call it
if there's sort of more of a partnership.
Okay. So let's go back to self-publishing used to be, by the way, where you did everything yourself and you printed it and you printed, 2,000 books and put it in your garage and you spent $15,000-$20,000 and you tried to get a distributor, et cetera. Now self-publishing is print on demand, iUniverse, Lulu, CreateSpace, AuthorHouse, et cetera. You can have it done in about, 3 months. They don't take your rights. But what people don't know, that's what I'm going over quickly, is that the book will never get in a bookstore because it's print on demand and it's not returnable. The other thing about print on demand is that you don't have a lot of credibility with the media and even as a speaker because anybody, my schnauzer, can have a book done print on demand on how to meet other schnauzers. And 4 schnauzers will buy the book. But the average print on demand book sells under 100 books in its lifetime. So it's a great, it's kind of the minor leagues of publishing. It's a great way of getting started. So now let's look at the middle ground. There are lots of publishers. One is Greenleaf. Midpoint has a division, which I call kind of a hybrid. I'm publisher at Morgan James Publishing, morganjamespublishing.com. We just had a book that went to number 1 on the New York Times called Vision. I published Brendan Bouchard's book. That's how we met. And the nice thing about that is we can go get to press very fast, the speed to market. Brendan wrote a book that I published last year in 13 days, last January. He delivered me the book on February 5th. I published the book on March 5th, and it went to number 1 on the New York Times on March 20th. Not March 20th, a year later, but all within a few weeks. So, number 1, it's speed to market. Number 2 is he controls all the rights, all the decisions on cover, interior, pricing. We do everything together as a team. Most importantly, again, he retains his intellectual property rights. And why that was important is once we got it to number 1 on the New York Times, Simon & Schuster came and said, hey, we'd like to publish your next book and get the rights to this book, and we'll give you $2 million. And I'm saying $2 million, which it's public knowledge, and he got $2 million advance for his next books. And he was able to take his rights back, which was very, very important. The difference is, number 1, speed to market, how fast we can get a book out. We can get a book out in about 10 weeks from the time we get a finished manuscript. We don't edit it for you because we don't take your intellectual property rights, so we need a finished manuscript that's edited. If you don't have an editor, I have tons of ghostwriters and editors that can help you. We do the printing, we do the design, we do the cover, we get the books out. And most importantly, we have a sales force, part of Ingram, and this is Ingram Publishing Services, which is the sales force of Ingram, that gets our books into bookstores because we're a regular traditional publisher. And we also get it immediately as an ebook. So it is, people can buy it on Kindle, iPad, et cetera. So our folks get a royalty, and just so people understand royalties, if your book is $20, we get $10 from, Amazon or from Barnes & Noble, and you get 20% of that. You get $2 a book. For an ebook, it's sold for $10, we get about $6.50. And most publishers give their authors 20% of that, which we think is wrong, and the Authors Guild thinks is wrong. We give 50% because we're not actually printing the book. So you actually make more money from an ebook, because if we get $6 or $6.50, you're getting $3 to $3.50 on the ebook. The important thing is that you retain your rights, and it's speed to market.
So this entrepreneurial, it doesn't sound like there's not a lot of companies that are doing it. You've mentioned Greenleaf, Morgan James. Is there another
Midpoint
one?
Midpoint has, I think, Beaufort. I mean, they have a division that does it. There are some. You got to watch out. I mean, again, everyone has different models. With us, we're looking for, we get about 4,000 manuscripts a year. We take about 100, 150. We generally take, again, speakers are our sweet spot. People who have a platform who can sell a lot of their own books and want to sell it themselves. So let me just, there's an important thing to talk about.
Okay.
If I, as a speaker, I have a book called Where's Your Wow, published by McGraw-Hill. If I want to sell that book in the back of the room, I have to buy it back from McGraw-Hill for 50 off the list. List price is $20. I have to buy it for $10, and then I can sell it for $20. Our books, our authors get it for cost plus $2. And cost, we only do trade paperback because that's what bookstores want. We'll do hardcover for you as a speaker for your own personal needs, but not for the bookstores. So trade paperback is a $15 book on average, or $17 book. In a lot of 2,500, it costs $1.47. That's what the real cost is. So our authors are getting their first batch of books for about $3.50 a book. They can sell it for $20. After they go through 2,500 books, they get it for cost plus 30%. So cost, again, in a batch of 2,500 is $1.47 plus 30%. They're getting their book for about $1.80, $1.90 a book. That's a heck of a lot better than $10 a book. So if you can sell a lot of your own books yourself or in the back of the room, that makes sense for you. But
great. So let me know, let me just pause you for a sec there.
Okay.
Let me just pause you for a sec. So I mean, this is just fantastic information. So now for folks that are on the phone, you would have been sent a website link in your invitation, and if you want to use that website link, you can type in questions at any time on the website. I know I have mine open right now on the left-hand side, and that's a great way for you to get in touch with me, and then I will field questions to Rick as we go through this call. So you just need to go to that website link, type in your questions or your comments, and then I will keep an eye out for those, and that's a way for you to get your questions in. So, Rick, so what I understand is that you're faster to press if you go with this middle form, this what you're calling entrepreneurial publishing. You obviously have a much preferential deal for buyback. So all of us are interested, of course, in back of room sales, so that's really attractive. What's the downside? Like I think we understand the downside of self-publishing.
You know,
you've indicated, look, it's you got to do a lot of work. You're not going to get automatically on the shelves. There's maybe credibility issues. We understand some of the issues with working with big publishers. Is there a downside to the entrepreneurial publishing option?
Sure. Let's see. Well, with us, you can get in bookstores. However, you must understand, and I'll be mean for a second, but it's like the last time I went to a real bookstore was to get a cup of coffee. I know they have coffee and they go on the internet. I've seen Barnes & Noble actually sell some toys there, but not a lot of books. So it's hard to get your book in the store because there are 3 million books published a year. Most of them POD. The regular books, which are published by regular publishers, are about 380,000 a year. So that's 1,000 a day. And if you think about it, the big Barnes & Noble or what's your big stores up in Canada?
Chapters Indigo.
Chapters, and we sell in the Chapters Indigo, but they have maybe 20,000 books or 100,000 books on their shelf. Most of them are backlist titles, meaning, Shakespeare, Tuesdays with Maury, old bestsellers that have been selling for years and years. And also they have a lot of the Bible, for instance. Okay, it's very hard to knock the Bible off the shelf. I don't want to screw around with God. God gets shelf space, okay? So the point is our sales force are only going to get your books on the shelves if indeed we can prove to them that you're going to do something to sell your book. And that's marketing and publicity, and we're going to talk about that and what you need to do in the second half of this call, a little bit about marketing. But they need to know that you're going to be speaking, that you're going to be on radio, on TV, blogging, other people are going to talk about you, doing signings, and then they'll get your book on the shelf.
Okay.
The downside with us, I mean, just full disclosure, is our model is that not like that other publishing company, but with us, we take you on if you agree that you'll buy back 2,500 books at cost plus $2, is what we talked about, at any time between the time now that you sign the contract and the time that you die. So you don't have to buy 5,000 books back at PubDate like that other publisher, but you need to feel that you can sell 2,500 books in your life.
Got it.
Because if you don't think you can sell 2,500 books in your lifetime, then we don't want to publish you. We make money by selling it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, et cetera. So it kind of separates the men from the boys, to be mean. You know, so that's you can see our model there. So
as you said, you look at about 4,000 a year, and I think you said you take 150 and take them to press. Is that about right?
About 150, exactly. We may do more. We just started, by the way, a new division doing fiction, and we're doing about 23 books we have signed up already for 2013, and we just are starting a children's book division. But most of our books are how-to books, just what you guys write, management, money, you know, teaching people something.
Got it.
So that's our sweet spot.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we're getting lots of questions here, Rick. So you're a popular guy. By the way, this call has set a new record for CAPS in terms of the number of people registered. So this is really valuable. So Rick, a lot of the questions that I'm getting in already are around topics and how do you become a bestseller. So why don't we talk about platform? So what do you mean by platform, and I guess how do we get one?
All right, let's talk about that. Great. By the way, I'm going to give everybody a free website before I get into platform, for your book proposal. Yes, I have a whole series of books, Author 101. The yellow book is a book proposal book. It's $9 on Kindle, and I make about 10 cents. But one of my students actually made a program which is free, which is called, write this down, Rick's Book Proposal Wiz, WIZ.com. Rick's Book Proposal Wiz.com. Or you can get there, bpwiz.biz, B-I-Z. And it's a free software, which is plug and play. You just see exactly what I wrote, and then you put in yours, and it does the book proposal for you, and it's free. So there's a great resource. All right, platform. That's the golden word in publishing, and some of you have this already, but I want you to, number one, the first thing we're going to do as a producer or as a publisher is I'm going to do a Google search and check you out and see what comes up. And the first thing that should come up is your speaker site, speaker/author site. So I have rickfrischman.com, and I invite you all to go there, Rick, F-R-I-S-H-M-A-N.com. And there I have streaming video, streaming audio, testimonials, you know, lists of all my books, pictures with all these famous people, most importantly, an ethical bribe. An ethical bribe is a freebie. So when you're on radio and TV, if I'm on radio and TV for Author 101, I say go to rickfrischman.com or author101.com, and I don't say go buy my book. I say get my free $1 million Rolodex, which is 150 pages. I don't say go sign up for my newsletter. We all have a newsletter. Nobody gives a hoot, okay? It's got to be something that has real perceived value. And then they get into my system where then they get my newsletter and autoresponders hit off, and I start a relationship with them, and I start teaching them something and not selling them anything, but I teach them. And that's what all you need to do. You all need to have a system as well that can have autoresponders and have a newsletter that goes out. There's lots of systems, Constant Contact, Infusionsoft. I have one, which is a shopping cart system. You can just, you know, do your research and see what's best for you. But you need to have a system. So back to your platform. Number one, you must own several URLs. Every one of you need to own your name. So, Hugh, do you have? Is it Hugh Carver?
HughCulver.com.
Hugh Culver. And do you own HughCulver.com?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, great. But now, if you had a name that was hard to spell, you must get misspellings of it. So if you had, Harry Smithkowski or something, okay, get the misspellings of your name, all right? Now, what happens if we go try to get HughCulver.com and it's taken? Then everyone, here's what you get. You are the HughCulver.com. You're the one and only HughCulver.com. You're the original HughCulver.com. You're also HughCulverSpeaker.com and HughCulverAuthor.com. Do you own all of those?
I do not.
You will tonight. Okay, so here is a site, okay, and I don't make any money on it. Write this down, Rick's Cheap, C-H-E-A-P, domains.com. Rick's Cheap, domains.com. You can get CA on it as well. It's $9.95. It's my own private label. Division of somebody, a big outfit you know, but others are charging $12.95, $15.95, $30. Don't spend more than $9.95 for a URL. Now, I know it doesn't sound like a big difference, but if you own 100 URLs and they're coming due every year and it's a $5 difference, you're pissing away money. So, and again, you know, I keep it at cost, so I don't make any money. It's just for authors. So I want you to own all of your names, misspellings of your names. By the way, I want you also to, if you're a father, get your kids' names the minute they're born, and if you're grandparents, get your grandkids' names and give it to them as a present. It costs $10 a year, and they're going to need it down the road. All right. Second homework is I want you to write down 10 potential titles of books you are going to write, and you must own the URL for the title of your book. If you don't own the URL for the title of your book, it's not the title of your book. So I have rickfrischman.com, but I also have the URL and a website for every one of my books, and you need to do that as well. So even if you haven't written the book, own the title, because when you come to me as a publisher, I'm going to want to know what the title is and if you own the URL, because that shows me that you know what you're doing. Titles, very quickly, 1 to 5 words. That's the sweet spot. Okay, the 4-hour work week, guerrilla publicity, where's your wow, blink. Think of best-selling titles, 1 to 5 words. The subtitle is the promise of the book. What are you going to teach me? What are you going to tell me in the book? 17 ways to get people to do what you want. 124 strategies to make more money by next month. You know, the secrets to losing weight guaranteed, you know, so you can fit in that wedding dress. Whatever it is, that's the subtitle of the book. So your platform, number one, is I'm going to look to see what websites come up for you and see what's on there. Specifically, your speakers. I want to see you speaking. I want to see you on TV, streaming video, streaming audio. I want to see you in front of an audience. That's the first thing we're going to do. Testimonials from the media saying how great you are. And also, obviously, if you're a speaker, from the head of GE saying you rocked the house in front of 10,000 people, no matter how much I paid you, I gave you $5,000 last year, I want to give you $20,000 this year. You were amazing. So I need to see all that on your site, and I need to see how many books you have and what will be coming out. More importantly, don't tell me what you're going to do. I'm going to be on Canada AM. I'm going to be on the Today Show. I plan on doing this. I want to know what you did. You know, here is a list of radio shows, TV shows that I've done. Here's a list of speeches I've done. Here's a list of people. And then when the book comes out, I have a budget already for a PR firm. I've already met with a marketing agency. I also have a huge following on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I have my own channel on YouTube, and all of those are free. In addition to that, what am I looking for? This is the platform. Hugh, you have a big list. You have your own list of 5,000, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. They get my newsletters, love what I send them, are looking for my for my material. I have my own radio show, if you have one. I speak 100 times all over the country to 100,000 people. So when my book comes out, they are dying for my book. If I hit, you know, just as we did with Brendan Burchard, if I just literally send out an email, boom, we can sell 5,000 books, 20,000 books, you know, in the first week. And that's what we did with Brendan. Or I happen to have really good friends who have big lists. And they will all send out emails on my behalf when the book comes out, because we're going to be doing a huge, massive email campaign. That's what we did with Brendan. We didn't wait for the bookstores. The moment we got that book out, March 5th, we blew it away. And within 2 weeks, we sold over 20,000 books on Amazon. We didn't care about Barnes & Noble. We didn't care about a bookstore. Then when they came to us, we said, okay, we'll let you order some books, but we really couldn't care less about you. So the platform is all of this stuff rolled up. In fact, and I promise I'll take a breath, everybody, okay? you know, but Dan Kennedy calls it a herd, okay? In essence, how many people love you, love what you do, will be, as Ken Blanchard said, are raving fans. It's another way of putting it. That are dying for your next book, that are dying for your next speech, love getting your newsletter, love watching your videos, and I submit all of you should be recording short videos. You can do it on your iPhone and putting it up on your YouTube channel, I would say once a week. That's what's really driving action these days as well. And, of course, you should be doing teleseminars just like we're doing. I mean, and I know you're thinking, man, there's just so much time in the day, which is true. How much can you do? You should be doing a little bit of all of that, and that's what builds your platform. Now, the good news is, you know, the major publishers will not touch you unless you have a big platform. They don't want to publish a book that will go nowhere. So that's their big thing they're looking for. The middle publishers like us, you know, the entrepreneurial, the hybrid, of course we love you to have a platform, but you know what? You don't have to have it. What you have to have is the ability to learn and to be able to do it in the future. And it's a work in progress. A platform is building every day. And so you just need to be able to work at it every day.
One of the things, this is great. So one, and I mean, the examples of Burchard are pretty, you know, pretty extraordinary, because he's been building a huge platform. His platform for 5 or 6 years. But one of the things that occurs to me, and I think maybe Gretchen Rubin is a good example with the Happiness Project, and where she's a mother of two, a lawyer, you know, living in New York. And what I think she did, Rick, that was really brilliant, was she built her platform as she wrote the book. You know, I think she'd had a couple of books published before, but nothing to the scale of the Happiness Project. But I think that as you're working on your book project, you can start to build your platform by, you know, you're starting to release parts of the chapters. You're starting to get some feedback on your blog. You're starting to get a following of people that are watching, maybe even little videos that you're releasing about the book project. Because, after all, most people are going to take, you know, whatever, 3-6 months to write the book. So you've got a long time there to start to build a following specific to that project. You know, because sometimes I think what we think is that the platform has to be all about me and all of the things that I do. But I think the platform can be built around the actual book project itself. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And you do it slowly. I mean, when Brendan, I mean, just to give you an idea, Brendan now is a superstar. But when I met him, he came to our Author 101 University about 6 years ago. He was bankrupt. He didn't have a book. He had no direction. He borrowed money from his parents to get there. I met him, and I fell in love with this kid. All he had was a book proposal, and I loved his vision. And I introduced him to Scott Hoffman, who's a friend of mine, a literary agent. And we took him under our wing. It took about 6 months to sell his book to Harper San Francisco. And then it took another 18 months for the book to come out. So his book didn't come out for 2 years. But in that time, in between the time I met him and the first book coming out, he just learned and kept on building slowly. So that when the book came out, then he hired us to actually do publicity for him, and it slowly got bigger and bigger. So it's a process. All of you, don't worry that, I know, you know, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't have a huge platform yet. It's okay. The other thing is about writing a book. How many of you, raise your hands, we can see you on this line. This is a very super duper line. Raise your hands if you're still just thinking about your book and you haven't written it. Okay, we see a lot of people raising their hands. As I started this call, I'm the crappiest writer here. Here's what I, you know, the way to write a book. I want you to write 15 chapter headings today. I want you to write your, you know, write down your, you know, get your URLs and, you know, for your title, but then just write 15 chapter headings. And then get Hugh on the line or a friend and just record each chapter where they just, I mean, your speakers, for God's sake, just talk for about a half hour. And each half hour can be a chapter. That's all you need. And a sweet spot, Brendan's book, which went to number one in the New York Times, was 161 pages long. The sweet spot is 175 to 200 pages. It doesn't have to be a long book. It just has to have great content. And for me, here's the most important part, is that if your book still isn't that wonderful or brilliantly written, it's okay. 80% of whether we take you on is if we fall in love with your vision, with what you do, what you want to do with your to change the world, how you want to give back, what kind of person you are. We can change the book. We can edit the book, but I can't change your personality. I can't change if you are, you know, what I call banana head, which is a made-up word, you know, but someone who doesn't really have the values and you know, someone I'd love to be in business with, then I don't care how good your book is. But, you know, if you're a really good person and are helping the world and want to give back, we can get someone to edit your book and make it better. One note, we give a portion of every book that we publish to Habitat for Humanity. We put it on our cards. We put it on the back of the book. We build homes in Virginia. And after we build a house for someone, then we give them a library book. So after we put a roof over their head, we want to fill their head with knowledge and help them as well. And those are the kind of people we're looking to get in business with. Those people who are writing a book, not for the money, because you don't make money from a book by and large. You make money because of the book. And because you have something that you want to teach the world, something you want to give back in some way. And that's the kind of people we're looking for.
Nice. You know, Rick, I know that there's lots of people have questions and they're
emailing
me.
Okay, let's get to the questions. Okay.
Yeah. So a couple of simple ones, we did go over it a little bit, but when we start thinking about the numbers of working with a traditional publisher like royalties, could you just kind of go through that just maybe one more time, Rick, just so we get an idea? Because you were very good about, okay, if we work with the entrepreneurial publishers, it's this 20, like in your case, right, there's with Morgan James, a 2,500 book buyback at any time, and you talked about the fees. But typically with a publisher, what's the breakdown? Like, you know,
it depends on, okay, so first of all, if you get an advance, and let's just say you got a $2,000 advance, remember that's a loan. So you don't get any royalties until you pay back the loan. And only 20% of all authors actually earn out, which means they earn back the advance and start getting royalties. So that's just a loan against your future royalties. Here's an important point. Never, ever sign a contract with a major publisher or even, you know, with any publisher unless you have a literary agent or a literary attorney at your side. Because most every contracts are designed to screw you, and it's just because they're written for their behalf. My literary attorney, when I signed a 4-book deal, said, "You see this little clause? If we don't get this out, you'll get 1/2 of the royalties that you're entitled to for the rest of your life." I didn't know what that clause was, but they did. So, a literary agent, by the way, doesn't charge. gets 15% of whatever your advances and whatever your royalties are. In terms of royalties, it's all over the board. It could be 15% on average, but you have to watch out, is it 15% of net or is it 15% of gross? And it all depends. On every publisher is different. It's different. You get a higher percentage on a hardcover book than on a paperback book. Again, ours, you're getting 20% of the net. So if we get the book's $20, we get $10, you get $2 of it. So that's 20% of the net, which is generally a little bit higher than normal royalty. I would say, you know, and often it's on a sliding scale. Like ours starts at 20, then once you sell like 25,000 books, it goes to 25%, and then I think at 40,000 books, it goes to 30%. So there's actually an escalator clause that goes up. And in most contracts, you need to negotiate that. But, you know, on average, you know, you could be getting 7% of the gross. So, again, it's the same thing, would be 15% of the net. But somewhere in that ballpark, every contract's different. That's why you need either a literary attorney or a literary agent that already has deals with these publishers where they don't have to start negotiating from scratch to get you the best deal, get you escalating clauses. And there's just a lot of minds in there that are designed to hurt you, that they got to get out of the contract, and there's certain things they got to get in. For instance, if you had a bestseller list, if you hit a bestseller list on Amazon or any other list, that you may get bonuses or be entitled to bonuses. So the short answer is it's complicated, and you got to have someone in there to protect you.
Okay, good. Got it. Yep, that makes sense. Yeah, I can just imagine. I can just imagine. Now, one of the things that I know is a pretty new phenomenon. It certainly worked really well for me with my book, and that is the and you've alluded to it a little bit, but the print on demand through through Lightning Source, through Ingram's, Universe, Lulu. So, in other words, like I know for my book, you know, it's listed on Amazon. It's the paperback is in the bookstores in Canada, but the paperback is listed through Lightning Source on Amazon. So it looks like a real book, but it's actually a print on demand, and it's, you know, amazing quality. They print one at a time. So for people that want to go the self-publishing route, what's the downside of that? Because it certainly is convenient to do that route.
I mean, and it's not a bad way to get going. In fact, our books are printed at Lightning Source in Nashville, and we printed both an offset run, regular, and then we back it up POD. And the whole idea of print on demand is someone orders it today, it's printed this afternoon, and it's shipped tomorrow. I believe the future of publishing will be that there won't be any bookstores. I mean, when was the last time you all bought a record at Tower Records or whatever record store you have up there?
Right,
they don't
right.
exist anymore. Well, because you just download it in your iPhone. Well, it's the same thing with books. There will be a few bookstores, but I think it will be in the future, and this is terrible, a little kiosk. And you go in and you say, I'd like to get the new John Grisham book. And they say, great, give me the title. They put in the ISBN number, and they'll print it for you in 5 minutes on the spot. They're already doing that now. So the downside of POD is that you won't be in any bookstores because they're not returnable. I think that will have less and less of a real effect for us as speakers because no one's going to, you know, I don't go to buy books at a bookstore. I go to Amazon, I get it in a day, or I just download it into my Kindle or my iPad and I have it in 5 minutes. The other downside is that we are one of the 3 million books that weren't, quote, vetted by an editor or a literary agent. So basically, almost anybody can have a book done print on demand through Lulu, iUniverse, CreateSpace, Lightning Source, etc. If you pay your money and it's not a book on how to build a bomb, we'll print it for you. For the media, like if you were to get it, try to get into the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Today Show, you know, major media, they're going to look at you once again because you haven't been vetted, and it'll be that much harder to get on. However, if you have the platform, if you have the websites, if you have the credibility, it's like, wait a minute, but here, look at, here's, and it's sort of a catch-22, but here are stories, you know, from the Toronto, is it Sun? What's your paper up there?
Oh, well, we have Toronto Star.
And Star, okay. Here you can see me on TV and radio. Here are testimonials from, you know, people in our industry where they actually see that you are someone of credibility, that you've spoken to thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I think it's okay. I mean, I think it'll be better. But the whole idea is that, you know, what is the credibility that we have as an authority? You know, that we are, every one of you as a speaker, you have branded yourself and should be branding yourself as the number one authority in the world on X, on whatever it is. Now, some of you are motivational speakers. Some of you are money speakers, are business speakers, you know, or trainers. But you need to, I mean, why should I book you as opposed to the other guides? Because I am the authority. And so you're doing that as a speaker, and you're doing that as an author as well.
So let's talk. Okay, and let's build on that a little bit, Rick, because you talked about that a little bit, about being an authority. Let's talk about how do I, as an authority, how do I decide what is going to be my title? Because, you know, you gave the Tim Ferriss example where, by the way, just tell us, what was his original title for his book?
Oh, boy, I have it. Hoffman just remembered it. It was terrible. It was very esoteric. I don't remember the title. I have it in my files. And I can look it up. But it was so meaningless. It was like, you know, how to build something in 40 days type of thing.
Okay, got it.
It didn't give me the promise of the book. Again, the 4-hour work week. Boom. Yeah. Everybody wants that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, think about, I mean, we do J. Conrad Levinson. We've probably published 38 books, and I have several guerrilla books. People love guerrilla marketing, guerrilla publicity, guerrilla something. Why? Because inherently, to be a guerrilla, it's getting something for little or no money. It's using elbow grease. It's really figuring out how to do it right. So a title needs to be, number one, you know, not esoteric, okay?
Right.
Where
right.
I understand who you are, I understand what you're going to teach me, I understand what I'm going to get out of that, you know, right away. Number two, and this is for a speech, but it's also for publicity, is that if I'm a producer or an editor, you need to be able to teach my audience, you know, three things that are going to change their life today. Okay? Let's just break it down to simple. And if you can't do that in 30 seconds, and the biggest problem with speakers, and I've trained, you know, Dennis Waitley and Zig Ziglar and a lot of famous people, is they're used to talking for an hour or an hour and a half, but I can't get them to be succinct and tell me what they're thinking in 30 seconds. Okay? Right? Does that ring true with anybody?
It's hilarious.
You know, so it's like 30 seconds. Come on. Tell me who the heck you are,
right. Why
you are the authority, and why you're the number one authority in Canada, in America. I don't care if there are other people who know more than you. You claim your title.
Got it.
You are the authority. And then number two, you know, what is it that you are going to do and or teach my audience? And the audience may be as a speaker, or the audience may be as a listening on the radio or in a teleseminar, that very quickly will change my life. Change my life in that I will. There's four areas of expertise, and you all probably fit in these four. Number one is money and subsets of money, okay, which is management, insurance, you know, how to find a stockbroker, how to make more, how to spend less, you know, and send your kids to college for free. There's all these wonderful subsets. Everybody, I mean, what's this whole election about? The economy's stupid, right? That's what we care about, money. We don't have enough of it, and every one of us, there isn't any amount of money that we can't outspend. So if you can help me, teach me about money, I want to hear from you. Number two, health. subsets of health. If you can teach me how to lose weight, how to be more healthy, how to beat diabetes, how to get my kids healthier, how to eat better, I want to know from you. You are the expert. So why are you the expert and not somebody else? And what is it that is different? Remember, probably everything that you're all talking about, somebody else has talked about before. And whatever else that you're writing about, somebody else has written about before. So that's like why in our book proposal, one of the things that we do is a comparative analysis. Here are books that are similar to mine. Charles Gibbons did it. Susie Orman did it. But you know what? That was in the 80s or 90s or 2000s. Okay. But they're not as good as mine because mine is newer, new research, et cetera. And it's the same idea where if you're a motivational speaker, you're talking about any of these subjects, other people have talked about these subjects. But why are you the great coming of 2013? What is it that makes you different, better, you know, whether it's a study or that the University of Carolina says that you're the number one expert? Okay, moving on. So we talked about money. We talked about health. Relationships, that's the other big category that some of you are teaching us. You're psychologists, psychiatrists, you're social workers. You're teaching us how to, I mean, here's a big one, how to find a mate, how to find a girlfriend, how to find a husband, how to stay married, how to deal with divorce, how to sibling rivalry. Any of these ring true? I'm sure a lot of you are speaking on these subjects. Again, why are you the expert? And so this is a double-edged sword. I'm talking media, and I'm talking about speaking. Claim your title. The fourth area, and then I'll be quiet, is sex. Some of you are sex experts, you know, and that's a little bit of a tougher subject both for media and in speaking. We don't really want to talk about it in public to 2,000 people, but some of you are experts on that. Does that answer a little bit of it?
See, I was going to pick, I thought it was about pets. I thought number four was pets. So see, there, that's where my mind's at. I thought it was about dogs. Okay, so money, health, relationship, and sex. I knew it was sex. It had to be in there somewhere. So, Rick, I want to open the lines. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
If people want to talk to Rick or just hit *2 on your telephone, we'll give you just a couple of seconds to see if you want to do that. There's a great chance to run your idea past him, so *2 on your telephone. And we will look
while you're hitting *2, I just want to give you one site, by the way. We're having an event in a week called Author 101 University, for those of you still on the line. Go to the site, just check it out, Author 101 University. It's in Las Vegas. We already have 300 people signed up, flying in from all over the world. It's October 25, 6, 7, 8. Brendan Burchard is speaking, Barbara DeAngelis, Tom Antion. It's normally $500. You guys get... if you want to come, I know it's last minute, you come for a half price, just use Cody, which is my dog's name, C-O-D-Y, that's your coupon code. If you can't make it, just I actually answer all emails. So my website is rickfrischman.com, and my email is rick@rickfrischman.com. So if I didn't get to some questions here today, just send me an email, and I promise you I will get back to you and answer your question as best as I can.
Nice. Okay, great. So, okay. And if you have a question, if you want to type it in, we'll check those out as well. By the way, you've got a really nice compliment here, Rick, from the Rebbins in Saskatoon, who says our family has the highest regard for Rick. He is the person to go to for book publicity advice. So he says thanks. They say thanks for giving back to all of us. That's from Norm Delva and Nikki Rebbin.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, we got just a couple of minutes left, Rick. So
sure.
I know a lot of people that are listening to this, they already have a book already printed, right? And so they maybe have a carport full of books. So what are some simple, I know it's a huge topic, but simple ways to sell those books other than back of room? Like how could they get some publicity for those books?
Okay, here's what I want you four legs of a publicity chair, okay? Write this down. Internet is one leg, radio, leg number two, TV, and print. Internet, we talked about, you know, best way is social media, is Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter. You got to be on there every day. Get your links out there, get viral stuff going, et cetera, and that's all free. The next up is radio. That is my love. You can be on hundreds and hundreds of stations all across America and sell your book, get them back to your site, as we said before, for that ethical bribe. Sell your book, and you don't have to travel anywhere. First of all, there's something called Broadcasting and Cable Yearbook. It lists every radio station in America, I'm sure. Maybe for Canada as well. There may be one for Canada. I mean, you can hire a PR firm. That's $5,000 to $10,000 a month. What I want to teach you to, you know, what I teach you to do is how to do it for, you know, for no money. But call the best shows are morning drive radio shows, and there are 10 to 15 stations in every market in America. Most of them have morning shows. You want to get on between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., call them up. Just do your research. Broadcasting Cable Yearbook is free. And call up and ask who the producer is. Call about 9:30 when they get off the air. And just keep on calling until you get them on the line. And do your elevator pitch, just what we talked about, 30 seconds, who you are, what you're going to teach their audience, why you're an expert. And then they're going to ask for a one sheet. You'll send them an email with your one sheet and your website, which is in essence is your electronic press kit, where they can see you, hear you, see how great you are. And then once they fall in love with you, send them your book with the physical press kit, which is everything that is on your site, a press release, questions, bio, etc. And try to book yourself a week out, but you got to get on between 7 and 9 a.m. You can do this yourself. It's just elbow grease. And I've been on 200 to 300 radio stations all across America talking about my book, getting them back to my site. That's how you build your list, and it costs virtually nothing, and there's no travel.
That's
second thing is every one of you, I want you to go after your local newspaper, the community newspaper that, like thrown on your driveway. That's your first print interview. So first you start there, and then once you have that, you put that on your site, and then you go for the bigger papers like the Toronto Star or whatever, the Detroit News, you know, if you're near Detroit. If you're traveling anywhere as a speaker across the country, call every radio station before you get there. Call each news TV station before you get there and say, hey, I'm coming to town in 2 weeks. I'm speaking, you know, for 1,000 people, and I'd love to be on. Check out my site. I've been on tons of TV shows. Here's what I teach. What I will teach your audience in 3 minutes: how to, and all the things we were talking about: lose weight, make more money, get a job, all this stuff. This, what is the value of having you on? Not that you're selling a book, but what are you going to teach their audience? Now, again, if you have a book, then for the media, it puts you in a different place because then you are the authority on the subject. And it doesn't make sense. I was a radio producer in New York, at WR Radio. But when you have a book, we don't think of you as selling. We don't think of you as commercial. We think of you as an expert. But if you are just a speaker with a website and you don't have a book, then we think of you that you're just selling your website. So that's why every one of you has to have a book, and I know it's kind of a catch-22. The original question was, how do I sell my book? And you just, you know, you got to keep doing something every day. Radio every week, TV whenever you can, newspaper whenever you can. Every one of you, by the way, should have a blog, because the blog gets picked up on by the search engines, and it's free. I use WordPress, which is free. That's the one I recommend, and post to it at least once a week. So again, you know, if you can get put other people's content on your blog and then offer your content on other people's blogs. So it's just a matter of doing, you know, as much as you can, and do it for, you know, as little money as you can.
I think that's those tips around the radio morning show. That's a great, great idea. And, you know, the fact that you can do it from home. And I know I started doing those when my book first came out, Rick. And, you know, once you've done three or four of them, they're really a lot of fun. because you kind of know where they're going to go. You know sort of the questions they're going to ask. And I just had like a little cheat sheet to work from. And, you know, literally at the spur of a moment, I could be on the phone and doing one of those. And that was great. So I really good advice. Look, Rick, this has been fantastic. Why don't you give us those websites again for people
okay,
that
real
want
fast.
To learn? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So everybody, author101university.com, please check that out. It's next week in Las Vegas, October 25, 26, 27, 28. We have rooms for $99. For your group, I have a special code called Cody, C-O-D-Y. That's my dog's name. Gets you in for half price. So instead of $500, it's $248, and you can bring somebody for free. So it's $124. Basically, we're letting you come for free. So that's number one, if you can make it. If you're not, by the way, we do it again in March in Los Angeles. Number two, go to rickfrischman.com, get my $1 million Rolodex. It has tons of free information. Rick's book proposal whiz, that's the easy one to start working on your book proposal, which is great. Last one real fast, rickscheapdomains.com. It's $9.95. I don't make any money on any of them. These are just resources. And lastly, if I didn't get to your question, you can go to rickfrischman.com or just send me an email, rick@rickfrischman.com, and I promise I'll get back to you. Just say in the subject that you heard me on this call, and I'm happy to help you out as much as I can. I work with 100 literary agents. I work with publishers. If you have a book you want to send to me, you can just email it to me. And last one is morganjamespublishing.com. You can just see what our motto is. And we will help you get published one of those three ways, whether it's print on demand, whether it's helping you get into a major publisher, or if it's entrepreneurial publisher. But remember, don't sign anything until you have an advisor at your side that will protect you. That's the most important thing.
Good advice. Good advice. This has been great. Rick, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with the CAPS community.
My pleasure. Great to be on. I hope to meet all of you sometime.
Great.
Thanks
wonderful.
So much.
Thanks. And for the folks on the call and people listening to recordings, of course, I always encourage you to go and log into the CAPS national site, CanadianSpeakers.org, and go to the members section and log in and then take advantage of all the other recordings that we have in there from the Business Growth Series. So you can listen to Michael Port, best-selling authors like Michael Port, David Meerman Scott, Michael Lossier, and, of course, Mr. Rick Frischman will be on there as soon as we get that posted in the next couple of days. Thanks to Anthony Nijme in our Toronto office for being there on the back end, as always, and getting the invitations out so that everybody could enjoy this call. And thanks to everybody that joined us today. I hope you got a lot from it and that you take advantage of Rick's advice. Go to his websites, learn more, and get that book going. So it's a great thing for your career. Thanks, everybody, and thanks again to Rick.